Alrighty. Hello. Welcome. Had some board problems tonight. This is our pre-show for the 13th. So what I have here, and you've heard me bitching about it, we got a dirty mic pot, and I already texted Adam, and it's dropping out in a channel. Now, that doesn't matter. We're doing mono, but it's very disquieting to listen to the level suddenly drop in your headphones because one channel is gone. When you're running mono like we are running, there's no noticeable level change, but audio-wise, just listening to it, it sounds like shit. So we need to fix that, and we need to clean up the scratchiness. Listen to this. Well, you can't hear it now, naturally. Why would you hear it? Why would you hear it when I want you to hear it? 1, 2, 1, 2. So I do an awful lot of manipulating this mic pot during the show. It's the nature of the show that I do in terms of the characters. Here is... Can't hear anything there either. Well, so there's two. We have the number one module, which is dirty. The context sounds shitty. I don't know what's wrong with it. And then the number 9 and 10 module, which is also fucked up. And there you have it. Other than that, life is great. Life is beautiful, man.
Oh, but so you guys are my pre-show audience. You guys are my subscribers. I think I could probably tip one character that we're going to bring on stage on the 28th and the 1st. The 28th of February, the 1st of March, Jeff Dowder is going to make an appearance on stage. And we'll have one other. We're going to bring back the characters that we did for the first show, and we're adding two more. So total of 5. For your teenage dancing and listening pleasure, and probably extend the show by another 15 minutes, I think. The show was originally an hour 10. Might be, I don't know. I don't want to say an hour and a half. Might be closer to an hour and 20 minutes. But, and we'll also have some sort of ambient production. That is, we'll have some music, and we'll probably have some audio clips of some kind for you to enjoy. So, you know, I hope I see you guys there. It ought to be fun. It really ought to be fun. I am finally dropping weight. I'm below 230. And I did it, as I've always done, a calorie count. You know, it's really funny. Everybody's a fucking genius. What are you doing? I'm calorie counting. Oh, that's no way. You know, they tell you it's, I was over 300 pounds in my life. And nobody was coming along then giving me any motherfucking advice. I didn't know what to do. So what did I do? I did the only thing I could do. I started counting calories. And I remember I went to the doctor for a physical and he said, well, here's a diet I give to diabetics, 1500 calories a day. So Phil Hendry, not a doctor. I'm not any kind of a medical guy at all. I just went, all right, well, if he gives a diabetic a diet of 1,500 a day, I probably should hold myself to 2,000. That's what I did and began eating 2,000 calories a day, period. Just no, you know, I wasn't even looking at the nutritional value necessarily of things. Later on, I started to look at salt, sodium, and all that shit. I don't eat salt now. There's no motherfucking salt in my diet at all, unless, you know, some of it isn't some of the processed food that I eat, but... It's minimal. It's 8%, 10% maybe, and I eat, you know, well below the so-called recommended daily diet allowance. I don't buy salt. I buy Mrs. Dash and I buy garlic powder. Everything's like powder now. Onion powder, garlic powder, Mrs. Dash, shit like that, you know. You know what I really miss is that vegetarian chili that we made. I want to make that again. But anyway, long story short, by counting calories, I went from 290 pounds all the way down to 210. That's 80 pounds I lost over the course of 7 months. Let's see. October, September, August, July, June, May, April, yeah. So, you know, kind of a kooky thing, man. Just that summer was so fucked up. I can't tell you. There was a chick in Tampa that I went to see. What a fucking mistake. What a fucking mistake. What a dumb motherfucker you are, Phil, sometimes. Honest to God, I won't even go into it. I just want to tell you, I'm the dumbest motherfucker in the world. I think, you know, a lot of what happened to me when I got divorced, I went a little crazy because, let's face it, man. When you're a guy and you have money, and I got divorced, I had a lot of fucking money in the bank, okay? And you got time, you got money, and you've got a radio show or a podcast or whatever, you got some public personality going for you, you know, you run out there into the world and start being a guy. And that's what I did. And I ran through, I met a lot of women, and I dated a lot of women, and I fucked up with every last one of them. Because they were all, I will say this for Phil Hendry, every woman that I went out with following the end of my marriage was quality, really quality women. Every last one of them. Smart as hell, educated, thought I was the funniest motherfucker they ever heard in their lives, you know. And I just kind of ran through all of them. I think it was because I was so fucking tired of being married. I was so fucking done with that. I was so done with that, man. I was so goddamn done. I mean, I left my, you know how they say leave it on the field? I left everything on the fucking field. I left it all out there on the field. Money, time, effort, everything that I thought I had to do and could do, I did. And then some. So when I got single, I said, God damn it. This is what you should have been doing all along, man. This is nothing against my ex, because she's a really, really wonderful woman. She really is. I never should have gotten married. It's nothing against my ex, nothing against my great stepkids, all of whom I'm proud and honored to have been associated with. And I'm very serious about that, but I never should have gotten married. I should have stayed single and enjoyed my life a little bit, you know, because I worked my fucking ass off to get back to Southern California and then to get the show up on the Bird syndicated. That was huge, man. 10 years, I mean, 6 years before, actually, well, I got syndicated, 9 years before I got syndicated, I was working at a 5,000-watt station in Ventura, California, in a 600,000-person market, having to prep a show for no phone calls, you know, 3 hours a day. And I'm not complaining. I had a ball every fucking day. But to go from there to a show that's syndicated nationally was climbing the mountain, man. So I really should have taken some time to fucking enjoy that, you know. But here's the crazy thing. When you're raised the way I was raised, you go, all right, I have all this great success. I have all of this great good fortune. I have to do something now with that. I've got to go and do something good with that. Can't, you know, just to say I'm going to kick it and I'm going to fucking enjoy it every which way that I can, and I'm gonna party and all that shit. No, not the way I was raised. The way I was raised, and some people say this is Catholicism. Maybe they got a lot of it had to do with my parenting, but the way I was raised was: now you have all this good fortune. Now you have to do something good. Do something good with it. Do help somebody. I got married. Not only did I got married to a woman who had 4 kids, so I could be an automatic dad. I was so grateful that my Catholicism kicked in, I guess, and I went, okay, now it's time to be a good man, a good boy. Go out, come on now, Phil. You got good fortune. Now go out and do something good. Okay. Now, the hardest thing in the world to do in a Christian society, in my opinion, because it's just not oriented this way, and I think it's destructive that it is not oriented this way, and I think this is one of the failings of the Christian faith among the many, many, many failings. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend anybody, but you know what, man? I get that shit jammed down my fucking throat since the time I was fucking born. And it's time that some people push back a little bit, because You know, the Christian faith has been responsible for some horrible things. Horrible. Horrible. So don't get me going. So one of the failings is that you cannot just love and enjoy life. You're not allowed to. Every goddamn minute of the, every goddamn fucking second of every goddamn fucking day, you're thanking Jesus, thanking God, thanking this thing. You're not worthy. And so what do? You wind up fucking up. In an effort to be worthy, in an effort to be grateful, in an effort to not take things lightly and to be appreciative of all the good fortune, you fuck up. Because you don't allow yourself to be yourself. You get out, just what I did. Got involved in all kinds of shit. That's what being a good guy got for me. That's what being a good guy got for Phil Hendry. Okay? A bad marriage. Four stepkids that probably would have been happier, you know, with just their mom staying single. It's not to say that I mean it was not a happy house, man. You know what? I grew up in that shit. I grew up in a very unhappy home. Very unhappy home. I got the fuck out of there as soon as I could. And I told myself that I would never, ever put a wife or a kid of mine through that. And I made the decision when I got into radio, into broadcasting, knowing that it was going to take me all over the country because, you know, you go from small town to a little bit bigger town to a little bit bigger town, and then you get to the big time. I knew I'd be going all over the country. I said to myself, I'm not dragging a wife and a kid with me. I'm not going to put any wife and kid of mine through that. Now that was me being a good guy. That was the honest truth. You may be thinking, I was thinking, fuck, I'm not going to get tied down by that shit. No, my thought was, I'm not going to put a woman and a kid through the trauma and the, you know, the discomfort and the insecurity of being dragged all over the goddamned country by a man who's got a radio career. Because I could see it. I saw it in guys that I knew in the business. These cats that I knew in the business with wives and kids, and they've been all over the motherfucker. They've been doing that U-Haul thing. And they get there, and those women didn't look happy. I got news for you. But anyway, that's what I think happens there, you know. You can't just say, this is great. I'm having a good time, man. I'm so happy. You know, when you're happy, you treat people better. When you're really happy, you know. And so you're kind of a natural good guy, a natural Christian, if you want to put it that way. You're not... Anyway... I don't know. I'm yawning. All right, baby. Let's get to it.